Well, good evening, church. Thank you for joining us on this amazing Sunday night. We're going to continue in our Ten Commandment journey. And so we come to the fourth commandment, which is remember the Sabbath. So if you have your Bible in front of you, I'd encourage you to open it up to Exodus chapter 20, where we find the Ten Commandments as we study through them together. And as you're turning there to Exodus chapter 20, I just want to kind of address a little bit that Sabbath looks very different for us right now. In this time of quarantine, in this time of COVID-19, we're all in our homes, and so Sabbath has just really changed. But we want you to know we really miss you. I miss you personally. I wish you were here. I would much rather be seeing you guys as we preach. But in the meantime, this is a great way for us to stay connected, still go to God's word together. So Exodus chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 1. And so someone say, the Bible says. Awesome. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then verse 8, our fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. And then verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's pray. Father, we do come before you, and we thank you for this time that we have to just go to your word. We thank you that though we can't gather presently here in the church facility, that Lord, we have gathered on our couches, we have gathered on our phones and through equipment. And Lord, we thank you that we as your church can remain in fellowship and remain gathered together in this way. And so Lord, as we look to your word to guide us, to direct us, we ask Lord that you would bring conviction from the Holy Spirit. We ask Lord that you would help us to apply your word in a way that brings glory and honor to your name. So Lord, thank you so much for this evening. I thank you for this time we can be together even in our homes. And we give this night to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember to change your oil. I remember that when I worked at an auto shop, I worked in an auto shop for 5 years of my life. And during that span, there were countless tires changed. There were parts exchanged. There were times where we took cars and we tuned them up. And it was a great season of my life to be working in that auto shop. And during that time, we also did countless oil changes. And we would always tell our customers, remember to change your oil. You see, for the longest time, for many years in the auto industry, they had a service record or service requirement, and they would say, hey, change your oil every 3 months or 3,000 miles. Now, why is that? Why would they require that? Well, you see, the engineer, the designer of your vehicle that you drive knows that it's what's best for the vehicle. What is best for the vehicle is for it to have its oil changed every 3,000 miles. You see, the engineer has designed your vehicle to fire on all cylinders. It designed your vehicle to utilize all torque and utilize all horsepower. It's designed to be on the road. It's designed even to go continuously on the road for long periods of time. But it's also designed and it's also recommended that you change your oil because it's what's best for it. Even though it's built reliable and even though it's built tough, it's essential and it's necessary for you to stop, for that car to stop firing on all cylinders, to remove itself from the road and to have its oil changed. You see, which is why we would always say, remember to change your oil. It's why the auto industry always would say, remember to change your oil. You see, for us, when we come to this text, just as a car is designed to drive, that's its purpose, we as believers, we as people, are designed to work. That's what God has built us and designed us to do. We see that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it." We also see that emphasized here in our text in verse 9. Look down at your Bible where the Bible says and talks about work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. We're designed and equipped for work. And just as a car is designed to drive and remember to change its oil, we as people are designed to work and remember the Sabbath. And this word remember, we see it there in verse 8. Now, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, notice something very important here. Most of the commandments we see within this text are you shall not, you shall not. But this one, we come to the fourth commandment, and it's remember the Sabbath. And that word remember, it's a very important word for us. Remember means to recollect, but also to put into practice. When the Bible says remember the Sabbath, it's saying recollect it, but also put it into practice. It's much like what we tell our children. You see, when we tell our children, remember to clean your room, it comes with the purpose of them remembering to do it by following through and making sure that task is completed. Much is this the same way. Remember the Sabbath. God's giving us a command that he expects us to follow through with. It's not enough for us to recall this command to our mind, the command of Sabbath, but we must follow through and own it for ourselves. So remember, recollect and put into practice. Now, what are we to recollect and put into practice? Well, it says here, Sabbath. And that word Sabbath, in the Hebrew, it's the word to cease. Literally, Sabbath means to cease. You could circle that word in your Bible and put next to it, to cease. And you see, this ceasing, this stopping, it points back to the seventh day of creation. It points back to God's creation when God ceased work, ceased what he was doing on the seventh day. And we see it here in the text in verse 11. So look down at your Bible. The Bible says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it." Ceasing is what this Sabbath word means. So where ceasing points back to creation, ceasing also points back to another thing. Ceasing also directs us as God's people to trust him. You see, a few chapters back in Exodus chapter 16, God gave a command to his people. He said, remember the Sabbath. And this was the time where his people were just delivered from slavery of Egypt. And so they're in the wilderness and God is saying, hey, remember the Sabbath. And so each day, what God's people would do is they would have the bread fall from the sky. God would provide for them with the bread falling from the sky. And each day, the people would go and gather what they needed for the day. They would consume it, and that was all they needed. But then notice what happens with the Sabbath, what God would do on the Sabbath. In Exodus chapter 16, we find that the Bible says this, "See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. You see, God was trying to show his people that he will take care of them as they learn to trust him. God will take care of his people as they learn to trust him. And this is the major question we have to answer for ourselves tonight. The major theme of this text, the major theme from the teaching tonight is this. Do you trust God enough to cease when he tells you to? Do you trust God enough to cease, to remember the Sabbath when he tells you to? Because that's what Sabbath is about at heart. It's about trust, trusting in our God. And so tonight, what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you 3 ways to trust the Lord by remembering the Sabbath. So we're going to look at 3 ways to trust the Lord by remembering the Sabbath. So if you're taking note, number 1 would be this. Set aside 1 day for corporate worship. So in order to remember the Sabbath and trust God, I'm going to number 1, set aside 1 day for corporate worship. I look down at your Bible again in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You see, we must trust Christ enough to gather and worship corporately. Trusting Christ enough to gather and worship corporately. Now, I'd like to address the elephant in the room right away, and that's this. It's, does the Bible say I have to go to church on Sunday? That's the major thing here. If I have to gather corporately, does the Bible say I have to go to church on Sunday? Well, let's look at a few scriptures from the New Testament. In Romans chapter 14, verses 5 through 6, the Bible says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. The Bible says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. You see, the Jews, they set aside the seventh day for their corporate worship, which was Saturday. Saturday was the Sabbath. It was the seventh day of the week. And in reading the New Testament, you know what we find? We find in the New Testament that the first Christians inherited this, or from their Jewish brothers, from the Jewish tradition, they inherited the habit of gathering on a day for corporate worship, for prayer, for fellowship, and for instruction in the word. So the early church, they took from what the Jews had always done on Saturdays, the seventh day, the Sabbath, and they applied it to their life. And with the emphasis of that prayer, fellowship, and hearing from the Lord and his word, instruction in the word. We see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, what's neat about this is the early church wasn't doing this on Saturday. The early church chose to do it on Sunday, which is the day that we've been doing it for a very long time. And so they chose not to do it on Saturday, but to do it on Sunday. Well, why is that? Well, understand that this special gathering of the early church on Sunday was in celebration of Jesus' resurrection. That the reason why they said, hey, let's gather on Sunday to worship Jesus is because Jesus rose and our hope is in the resurrection. It's assured in the resurrection of Jesus. So they gathered together to celebrate every single Sunday the resurrection of Jesus, just like we did this past Easter weekend. And so fun fact for all of us, the church today continues to gather for the most part on Sundays corporately because it's the day that Jesus rose from the grave. That's a little fun fact for all of us. And I'd say that's a pretty good reason for us to continue to corporately gather on Sundays. The Bible tells us as believers in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, about this corporate gathering. It says, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but we are to exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day of Jesus' return approaching. But the truth is this. The truth is many people do forsake the assembling. Many people do forsake gathering. Many people do forsake corporate worship, even though the Bible says to remember the Sabbath. You see, I would challenge all of us in a couple of ways. Are we teaching our kids that Sunday is the day we go to church or the day we try to squeeze church in? Sunday is the day we've set aside for church and nothing gets in the way of that, or Sunday is the day that we try to squeeze church into our already busy weeks? You see, I would say it's going to be difficult for our children to understand that church is important for them if we raise them thinking that it's the third or the fourth priority. We may say from our mouths that Jesus is Lord, but really soccer or a house project or homework is the true king. And we see that because we're not gathering, we're not maintaining Sunday gatherings. I'm convicted by what Kevin DeYoung says in light of not forsaking corporate worship. He says this, and I quote, too many see corporate worship as a good thing to do if the weather is nice, but not too nice. If the football game is uninteresting and the sports practice doesn't interfere, or if they're not too tired. Somehow we've gotten the idea that gathering with God's people to worship at God's throne and to hear from God's word is something that's fine to do when it fits our schedule, but this is not the New Testament ideal in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Now, as many of us are probably convicted with that, I'd like to remind you that this corporate worship, this remember the Sabbath, it's meant to not be a burden. It's meant to be a blessing. It's meant to be something that's sweet. It's meant to be just a blessing that carries out through the course of our lives. It's a little sweet taste of heaven where we'll corporately worship for the rest of the days of our lives. And so this is meant to be not a burden that we have to do, but a blessing that we get to do. And I would probably say more than ever before, we are understanding how great of a blessing that is, because it's a blessing we can't have right now. And that's what's so difficult for all of us. You see, this is a blessing we want to partake in. Many of us don't want to forsake this. Many of us want to be here corporately worshiping together, but it's a blessing we don't have right now. You see, we're quarantined and not gathering together corporately. We miss the sound of the sanctuary being filled with worshipful voices. We miss embracing saints. We miss embracing the church. We miss laying hands on each other in prayer and anointing each other with oil. We miss after-service conversations. We miss looking a brother or sister in the eye and saying, I love you. We're missing this corporate gathering right now. It's a blessing that has been taken from us for a season. But I'd encourage you, even as it's a blessing we can't partake in right now, be convicted and be empowered that when we come back to being able to corporately gather again, we will. We'll either come back here, or we'll come back when Jesus comes and takes us to heaven. We'll come back together and we will corporately worship Jesus together. When we come back, may we not forsake the glory and the wonder and the power of God's people getting together corporately and worshiping Jesus. Let's maintain that fellowship. Let's maintain Sunday gatherings. Let's maintain remembering the Sabbath by worshiping corporately, by gathering together once a week corporately. Second way we are to trust the Lord and remember the Sabbath, number two, if you're taking note, is we are to trust Christ enough to rest. Number two, in order to remember the Sabbath, I'm to trust Christ enough to rest. Look down again at your Bible in verse 8. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I would encourage you in this way. We must trust Christ enough to stop and rest. We must trust him enough to actually stop what we do, to stop our labors and rest. You see, what scripture is telling us here is God has given us 6 days to work. He's giving us 6 days of productivity, sweat, work, nose to the grindstone, and sacrifice. He's given us those 6 days. And the Sabbath is the day that we are to attend our soul. One day out of the week where we can stop nose to the grindstone, stop the sacrifices we make, stop the busyness of our lives, and we're able to come and tend to our souls. Stop and rest. And if God has given us such a blessing, then why do we not partake of it? It's one of the amazing blessings. I mean, this is a command that is a blessing. It's a command that's not meant to be burdensome. It's a command that's, hey, guess what? I'm giving this to you, an opportunity to rest, an opportunity to be restored, an opportunity to tend to your soul because you don't have time throughout the week because you're busy. So why do we not partake of the blessing to rest? You see, I believe we fail to cease because we fail to trust God. We fail to stop because we fail to see that God's in control even when we stop. So our failure to cease is failure to trust God. You see, Sabbath trains us to depend on God rather than our hard work and meticulous planning. Because that's what we depend upon in the 6 days. And we're not even to do that, but most of the time in our jobs, in our workplaces, we're depending on our meticulous planning. We're depending on that hard work. And Sabbath trains us to come back and depend upon our God. You see, in ceasing, we can say this, I trust God to provide for me, so I stop and let him make up for lost work while I rest. You see, in ceasing, we also, I trust God's grace over me, and I cease from my works to remind myself they are never enough. You see, in this ceasing, I trust that the burden that I'm carrying all throughout the week is not my burden to carry alone, but it's his, and I'm able to stop and rest and start worshiping him in it. You see, this idea of ceasing is the Israelites getting that bread on the sixth day that's going to cover both the sixth and the seventh day, so they stop on the seventh day. You see, it's the farmer who sits down on the seventh day. It's the farmer who sits down on the Sabbath and says, guess what? I need to water the fields, but I trust that God's going to sustain them and not let them wither away as I rest and worship him. You see, it's the person with the desk job who turns off their cell phone and doesn't answer any emails or text messages or answer any phone calls, trusting that God's going to give him enough time in the coming week to address those concerns. You see, this is what it's about. We're to cease and trust our God with these things. God has given us a day of refreshment amongst the seven, 6 days of grindstone, but one day of refreshment, a day to be free to stop and to worship him in the midst of never-ending work. Our work will always be there. It will never end, but God's saying, hey, guess what? You can stop it and you can worship me freely with no repercussions. Trust me with it. I would even say, he would say, test me in this to a certain degree. A day of refreshment. I remember going back to working at the shop. I remember there were certain customers of mine who would not in any way change their oil. They would not go with the recommendation. And here's what they would tell us. They say, hey, you recommended 3,000 miles, but I stopped. I pulled over. I looked at my dipstick. I looked at the oil, and the oil seemed clean enough to me. And what they were doing was, rather than trusting the judgment of the designer, the engineer, and those who were looking to take care of their vehicle, they were trusting their own judgment above the designer. And so they trusted their judgment. And I wonder if you find yourself in the same position in your spiritual Christian walk. You see, rather than trusting God's judgment and care for you to rest, you're evaluating your own life and trusting your judgment that I don't need this rest right now, that I don't need to stop, that I actually need to work because this work needs to get done. And you trust your own judgment over the judgment of God, and you fail to cease. You fail to get this blessing of God's refreshment in your life that can take place every single week. We ignore this day at our own peril. We ignore this day to our own destruction. It gains us and profits us nothing. In fact, that car that doesn't have its oil changed, it's got long-term damage it is doing. And I firmly believe that if we don't stop and keep the Sabbath that God has told us to do to get refreshment in him, then we're doing long-term damage to our lives. You see, there's a judgment upon us that God's saying, hey, the judgment I have in my design for you is to stop and rest, but you're looking at your own judgment and you're doing long-term damage to your life. And we do this at our own peril. It can destroy us. It can overburden us. It can weigh us down. It can get us frustrated. And God's given us that time to rest and to worship him. We ignore this day at our own peril. And I want you to understand, when we ignore it, God's not upset at us. He's not upset at us when we lift a finger on Sundays. He's not upset at us maybe when we go into the yard and get the weeds done. He's not upset at us for doing those things. He's not judging us over it. But I firmly believe that God means to smile over us with his blessing by giving us this day. That when we can rest and take a nap, when we can go on a walk, when we can read this book that we've been wanting to read, but we haven't had the time, but we set aside this time, I believe God's smiling at us because he sees the blessing he's given to us and he sees us taking a hold of it. But what a great thing that God would do for us. So for you, do you trust Christ enough to rest? Something to evaluate in your life. Do you trust him enough to rest? Do you trust him enough with the details of stopping what you're doing, maybe in the middle of a project? Stopping what you're doing in the middle of a meeting to go home. Stopping what you're doing in the middle of needing to take care of these phone calls, in the middle of your planning, in the middle of it all, to stop and rest? Or do you trust your own endeavors more? That's what we're facing. Trusting God and stopping, or trusting our endeavors more and continuing. Do you trust Christ enough to rest? So we've seen a couple things so far. We've seen, in order to remember the Sabbath, we are to set aside one day for corporate worship. We have also seen that we are to, number two, trust Christ enough to rest. And finally, in order to remember the Sabbath, we must, number three, rest in the finished work of Christ. Rest in the finished work of Christ. Again, we'll look at verse 8. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We must trust Christ enough to rest in his grace. That's something we have to trust him in. We must trust Christ enough to rest in his grace. Understand that the most important way we observe the Sabbath is by ceasing from our flawed and sinful labors and trusting in Christ alone for salvation. We cease from our flawed and sinful nature. We cease from our flawed and sinful endeavors, and we trust in Christ alone for our salvation. That is the main thing and drive of the Sabbath. Ceasing from our flawed nature. Sabbath rest is about making Jesus Christ the center of our lives. It's to bring us back to that point where we're working and working and striving, but we come back and we go, no, Jesus is the center of my life, and I trust him to carry out all the details of my life. Putting Jesus at the center, it means this. It means ceasing to find approval in others. Ceasing to find my approval in others. It means stopping the foolish quest for your own righteousness. That Sabbath can remind me of that. I need to stop in this foolish endeavor to make myself righteous, knowing that it's only Jesus who makes me righteous. You see, it means trusting that true health and strength and vitality and freedom can be found only when we cease from our labors and trust in Christ. That freedom, vitality, all these things comes only when I can finally rest in God's grace, rest in who he is, rest in his nature and his being, making Jesus the center of my life. I think some of us get caught up in trying to prove ourselves to others. And that's why we continue to work and strive and don't rest. We have this nature within us. We have this, you know, this thing that's driving us to just come to the place where we're always looking for the approval of others. We're always caught up in trying to prove ourselves. You're maybe the person where you never stop working or cleaning or plotting or fretting or fussing or worrying because you're trying to prove yourself to the church or to your spouse or to your parents or to someone else. And so you can never stop. You're always doing something. You're the person that says that people look at you and go, man, his mind is always going, or he can never sit down, because you're always trying to prove yourself. Always trying to make yourself righteous. There's always something for you to prove. And understand, there will always be something else that you need to do to show the world that you are worth something. That is our human nature. We are always trying to prove ourselves. There's always something we have to do. We'll have to finish this project or finish this task or, you know, do this great thing to show and portray to people that we're great and we're worthy. We're always trying to show that we're valuable. You're always trying to show that you're loved. You're always trying to show that you're okay. And that's what your work is defined by. You see, David Harrell, he says it this way. He says, and I quote, "People try to validate themselves by all the religious activities they do and applause they receive. But in reality, they have failed to cultivate the garden of their soul through intimate fellowship with Christ." If we never cease from our endeavors, we will get so lost in them that we will forget Jesus. We will get so lost if we don't stop that we will forget Christ. And God knew this. God knew that we would find our identity in something else because we're putting so much work and time and emphasis and labor into it, that thing becomes my God. And God says, stop that. Stop ceasing or stop striving in that and start ceasing and return to Jesus being what your life is about. And so God knew that. And God says, remember the Sabbath. Remember to stop. Give those things to me and come back and worship me. If we never cease from our endeavors, we will get so lost in them that we will forget Jesus. Could it be that you fail to rest in the cross of Christ because you feel more validated by what you do rather than what he has done for you? That you feel more validated in what you're doing, what you've built, what you've maintained, what is yours, than what Jesus has done for you. And so you fail to rest in that cross of Christ. Could that be you? I know I've struggled with that many times in my life where I feel more validated at the approval of others. I feel more validated because of what I'm doing and the praise of others. So I feel validated and I put my identity in what I'm doing rather than being able to rest in the cross of Christ and what he has done. maybe that's not you. Maybe you feel more validated. It's not that you feel more validated by what you do, but you feel as though what you do is never good enough. I think those are two extremes there. Many of us feel validated by what we do, but then there's others of us who feel invalidated because they feel as though they can never do it enough. And so you're burdened because like, I can never do this enough. I've tried and I can never please this person enough. And you've striven and tried and put your nose to the grindstone to try to please that person or try to do this. And you've realized it's never enough and you've become overwhelmed. I would say this, recognize that Jesus on this Sabbath, that Jesus with this ceasing, Jesus says this, come to me if you're overburdened and I will give you rest. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Understand this. Jesus comes to the overwhelmed mother who feels as though she has failed her children and says, come to me and I will give you rest. And Jesus comes to the overwhelmed employee who feels as though he can never do enough for his boss. And he says, come to me and I will give you rest. And Jesus comes to the overwhelmed student who feels as though his future is insecure, his future is unknown, and maybe as though he has failed in his future. And he says, Jesus says, come to me. Now I'll give you rest. Jesus comes to the overwhelmed sinner who feels unworthy in this life. And he says, come to me and I will give you rest for your soul. Come to me and I'll give you rest. When was the last time you came to Jesus to truly find him as your rest? When was the true time? Was it long before this COVID-19 and now we're forced to rest? We're forced to cease? We're not distracted? And so Jesus has us at a time that is crucial in our lives and says, now I have come and I've allowed this so you can have rest. We forsook it before. Now Jesus has given us this time. When was the last time we really just went to Jesus to find rest in him? Not prayed for something, but just found rest in him. When was the last time you had a deep and a long season of being a Mary at Jesus' feet rather than being a Martha who is serving up a storm? When was the last time you left the valley of busyness and went up to the mountain of solitude, just you and Jesus, leaving the valley behind? When was the last time you did that? See, Jesus has set aside this time for us. God has given this to us. Sabbath bids us to forget what we have done and remember what he has done. That's what Sabbath is. It's a day where we can go forget what I'm doing, forget what I've done, whether what I'm doing is amazing and good or whether what I've done and what I'm doing is amazingly wrong. I can come on the day of Sabbath. I can come on the day of rest and I can cease and I can forget what I've done and I can remember what he has done for me. On Sunday, on the day that Jesus rose, conquering death, conquering our sin and giving us rest for our weary souls. Come back to the cross and recognize that what you do will never be enough, but what he has done will fully be enough. Why? Because Jesus from the cross said, it is finished. Very important words for our souls. That this struggle between death and condemnation and judgment that is over our lives, that Jesus said, that's finished. It's done. Peace I give to you. My peace I leave for you. That's what Jesus has done for us upon the cross. So can you come and you lay your burdens down, no matter what they are, and find the one true rest you can receive at the cross of Christ? If you rest in your endeavors, they will never be enough. But if you rest in Jesus, he will always be enough. So back to that question. Do you trust Christ enough to rest? Let's pray. Father, we come before you and again, we thank you for this time. Lord, I ask and pray that we would be believers who are found at rest and at peace with our God because we have laid our burdens down at the cross, that we have found forgiveness of our sins, that Lord, even the things that we endeavor to do well, that Lord, we understand that they would never be good enough, but that Lord, you are good enough. So I ask and pray that you would humble us and help us to find rest in you, whether on Sunday or whether every moment of the day of our life, that we could truly find just restful hope and security in our God. Lord, we thank you so much and we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.